Is a little less growth just fine? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's more to life than gross domestic product, and that was underscored today with news the government statisticians have put in the latest data that trickled in from the last 3 months of last year. Conclusion, the economy did not grow 2.6%. It grew at a slower annualized rate of 2.2%. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So smaller isn't always worse?
No, this is one of those odd cases where slower growth is actually a little bit better. There were micro revisions to every category, but the biggest revision was to inventories. They were previously thought to be up about $113 billion. Now they're up just a little more than $80 billion, and we like that. The reason we like it is that smaller inventory growth in the fourth quarter means we still need to produce stuff in the first quarter. So this fear of an inventory correction in early 2015 dissipates. And as a result, current GDP estimates are revised up a little bit.
We're going to have a little trouble, though, with a seafood commodity coming out of my home state being a drag on the economy moving forward. What did you just see?
Yeah, apparently it is so cold in New England that many of the lobster fleets in Maine are frozen solid in the harbor. They can't get out and pull their pots. If the freeze continues for a while, you will see at least a temporary shortage in lobsters. And in the meantime, the lobster fishermen who rely on fishing for income are stuck.
This on top of all these years of ridiculously low wholesale prices the lobster folks have been suffering through. The lobster too, I suppose. Chris Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you. Although it wouldn't prevent a massive target-style theft of computer data, one of the responses is the card with the microchip embedded. Retailers have to upgrade equipment to accept this new card, and if they don't, they'll have to eat the cost of the fraud. But the rollout has been taking its sweet time, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Credit card companies have set an October deadline for getting the new cards to consumers, but a new survey from creditcards.com finds only 3 in 10 U.S. cardholders now has a chip card. Analyst Matt Schultz says even fewer retailers can read them.
Banks and retailers are definitely cautious when it comes to spending the money to make this investment.
That cost $25 to $30 billion, says Mallory Duncan at the National Retail Federation, and maybe not worth it.
The new cards, there's actually more hype than hope.
See, Europe adopted chips in cards years ago, but there you also have to enter a PIN, which is really secure. Here, all that's required is an easily forged signature. Why not use the more secure chip and PIN?
You'll have 4 or 5 different PINs on your credit cards. It makes it tough.
David Robertson at the Nielsen Report says card companies worry we'll forget all those PINs and just stop using their cards. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Some water and sewer utilities are a bit like the post office. What they charge isn't what they really need to fund their long-term operations. Some utilities are getting creative, turning waste into revenue. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong has the latest in our month-long series, Water, the High Price of Cheap.
I'm at DC's Blue Plains Sewer Treatment Plant with Chris Piat. He directs resource recovery here. And yeah, this stuff is not considered human waste. It's a resource that can be turned into, say, fertilizer.
The farmers value it at $300 an acre. If I worked for a Fortune 500 company and said that we were going to give this asset away for free, I'd probably be fired on the spot.
Piat manages a giant cylinder called a digester. Now, you can't see inside for obvious reasons. It smells.
These are centrifuges.
You take waste and you spin it, you cook it, and you digest it, which, like a stomach, means bacteria breaking down the matter. Poet says this high-end digester is the first of its kind in North America.
The thermal hydrolysis process makes the food much more available for the microbes in the digesters, which gives us better gas production.
Better gas production. Insert your own joke here. But this is methane, which makes free electricity for the plant. The digester also turns out fertilizer you can use in your garden. And someday, this place could sell other byproducts like phosphorus, which is a nutrient, or perhaps cleaned up water.
We call it NEW, nutrients, energy, and water, that can now be recycled as resources.
Matt Reese of the nonprofit Water Environment Federation says water utilities are in financial distress. Clean water standards are going up. The pipes need replacing. Heavier rainfalls demand more treatment and more planning.
All of that means you need additional capital coming into the system. There's now a realization that we've got to operate differently as a business.
Thing is, the utility sector is conservative. George Hawkins, the CEO of DC Water, says this business is no place for risky trial and error.
It is not one where you can start a new product and then it fails, so you go back to a different one, like New Coke.
Yet there is safer innovation, like digesting sewage into sellable products. You may be surprised, but yeah, you can get money for this stuff. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And a few minutes ago, we were talking to economist Chris Lowe, which we like to do on Fridays. He would like to point out that the august European country of Malta is in fact 122 square miles in area. Last week in this time slot, Chris said Malta was the size of a tennis court, but he now realizes his data was off. Flippancy has no place in public radio, Christopher. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.